Well, good morning. It's great to see you guys all here gathered in our Father's house to give him worship and praise and to receive from him most. First, let's receive from him the grace and mercy and forgiveness that he has earned for us and gives us so willingly. You know, the question is, how can we be here anyway? And we remember that we are called by him. And boy, is that a humbling thing. I mean, to be thinking in terms of that I am called by God to be his child, to be his servant, to be his spokesperson, to be one who works in his name. And we look at our lives and we think, wow, that's unfortunate that God chose me because I'm kind of a mess. And first thing we're going to do today is we're going to confess and bring our sins to God and receive forgiveness for those things. And then we're going to get into the word and start talking about what it means to be called. So let us begin our service today, remembering the day that we were called, the day that we were brought into this covenant of grace in our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to be your children. By the death and resurrection of your Son, Lord, you have earned for us the righteousness that we need, Lord, so that we can stand before you, Lord, and you make that righteousness available to us through this faith that you give us in our baptism and that you nourish through your word and through your sacrament. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, to strengthen us, Lord. Be with us this morning. Send your spirit to work in and through us so that we may understand, hear, and remember, Lord, your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have given up our sin. We have laid it at the foot of the cross, and our Lord has taken the credit for your sin. He has taken the blame and paid the penalty in full. Lord, as we are before our Lord today, we give him our sin. And he gives us his righteousness. What a trade. Let's sing.
I'm training. great to see all the smiling faces out there today. What a beautiful day God gave us for my birthday. The first scripture reading today is Psalms 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Through the lawfully he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hands against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. Happy birthday. I was thinking you look older today, but is that not what you're supposed to say? I don't know. Anyway, back to God's word. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 for today's sermon text. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. All right, children, it is now time for the children's message. So come on forward at this time. Miss Lauren has the children's message for you today, and I think she's got some help.
Good morning. Come on down. It's so good to see each and every one of you here today. You can come on right over here by me. And why don't you sit right over here? Right down here. That way I can see your little faces. Does that sound good? Okay. Well, it's so good to see you. Have any of you ever been fishing before? One of you. What kind of things do you need to go fishing? What do you think? Yeah, like bait for the fish. What else would you need if you were going fishing? What do you think? What do you think? Ooh, then you get to eat it? Yum. That's probably the best part, huh? Maybe a pole, maybe a boat, right? Fishing is a skill. It's not always easy. You have to have patience and know what you're doing. So fishing. Well, in today's reading, we hear about some fishermen. So I have some fishermen here today. Would you like to see them? Okay, great. They're going to come on out. And here they are. Now, in the Bible reading, you might have heard that these fishermen had been out, and did they try to catch some fish that day? They did. And did they catch any fish that day? Not quite yet. So what do their nets look like right now? Can you see their net? It looks very, what would you call that net? Full of fish or not full of fish? Is it? Well, not yet. It's empty. It's an empty net. So they were kind of getting ready to be done for the day. And Jesus was nearby teaching people. And it said that people were all gathered around Jesus. So we're gathered now. And then Jesus decided to teach from the boat. So he got in the boat with his friends. I think there was a couple boats, but... So we have a boat here to represent that. So they were in the boat. It might have looked a little different than this, but they were in the boat. And Jesus taught, and he said, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and put your nets down again and see if we can catch some fish? Now, we said the nets were empty so far, and we knew they had been out, and they might have been thinking, like, we tried this already, and I'm a very experienced fisherman, but... Okay, so I need you to close your eyes. Can you all close your eyes? Everybody, close your eyes. No peeking. All right, close your eyes. I'll tell you when you can open them. Keep them closed. So they had dropped their net down. No peeking. They had dropped their net down, and then you can open your eyes. Guess what? What happened next? The net was full. Jesus provided more than they could imagine. They said they had so many fish that the net was practically breaking. Is that a lot of fish? Yeah. But you know what? That was an amazing lesson just in itself, how much he provided. But there was even more that Jesus told them. He said, from now on, you will not only catch fish, but you will catch people. What do you think it means to be a fisher of people? Or sometimes we hear the term fisher of men. What does that mean, you think? Well, maybe we can talk about it a little. So why don't you guys set this net down? I'm going to have them help me a little bit. You can hear a Bible, reading a lot, and I think every time you do, there's always more and more you can learn. But here's some things I wanted to point out to you kind of today.
The first disciples trusted Jesus. They left everything to follow him and teach others.
When Jesus asked them to leave everything and follow him, what did they say? Do you know what they said? They said yes. How hard would it be to leave everything you know and just go? I think that is an amazing example of faith for us today. That would be hard, but they did. They trusted Jesus.
They were provided with more fish than they could have ever imagined.
Not only did Jesus provide fish, but we already said so many, right? So many. After they had been and tried, when God wants something to happen, when he says it, it happens. And you can probably think of things in your own life too, where we were given even more than we could imagine. And here's one more thing I want you to remember today.
Jesus used everything to do incredible things.
Everyday people.
Jesus used everyday people to do incredible things. God calls us to fish for people too.
Jesus used everyday people, fishermen. And Pastor Bob, he was talking to me about this verse, and he's going to share even more during a sermon about what these everyday fishermen ended up doing. And that's the same with us today. God calls us to be fisher of men too. And we can go and we can share the good news with everybody. And it's amazing that just us, everyday people, can do such amazing things because of who? Because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in us. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have you take some of these fish, but we'll pray first. I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us and forgiving our sins. Thank you for teaching us through your word, the Bible, and showing us how you work through everyday people and still do this today. Please be with us as we share your good news with everyone we meet. Amen. Now, our fish here, if I can get them untangled from our net, they say, who can read? Maggie, can you read? Come here, Maggie. Oh, okay. Can you see that one? It's a tricky one, huh? It said, Jesus said, now you will fish for people. So I'm going to have you take a couple of these back so you can keep one, and then you can give one to someone here, or you can take it home and give it to someone as a reminder of this important message, okay? Thank you so much.
All right, kids, it is now time for a little worship. So if that four-year-old through fourth grade, with the permission of your parents, if you want to meet in the center aisle at the cross, looks like Mrs. Landgraf has little worship for us today. And the rest of us, let us open God's word here and now and see what God has to say for us. So I love the beginning of this text. Is one day Jesus is standing by the Sea of the Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, the people, like, this is right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He had just been baptized, and he just started talking and teaching and doing things, and already there were a bunch of people that were just attracted to the message that he was speaking. Something unbelievably attractive about that word of God, and the people were there. But then the text goes into the calling of the first disciples. And this is an interesting thing. You know, I mean, we start thinking about, you know, qualifications. You know, you ever do a hiring process and you have to come up with a job description, and then you have to put the word out, and then you get people applying and you bring them in, and you have to have in your mind, what am I looking for in an employee, right? Right. So what's Jesus looking for? Well, first we have Peter. He is the man with the worst case of foot-in-mouth disease I have ever heard in my life. This is the guy that speaks first, thinks later. He's the guy that, admittedly, he was probably saying the stuff the other disciples were thinking, but the other disciples were still thinking it when he was saying it. And he just things come out of his mouth. He was very impulsive. He was very, but he's quite passionate, too. So, it's interesting. Then we have James and John, you know, the partners in the other boat. These are the guys that Jesus gave a nickname to. Remember their nickname? Sons of Thunder. That's right. They were hotheads. You know, a couple of villages didn't respond the way that they thought that they should, and they wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven on those villages. And Jesus was like, okay. Yeah, I got your number, Sons of Thunder. So is this the kind of people that Jesus is looking for? We're trying to fill out the job description for the ideal disciple, and we want somebody who speaks without thinking and calls down fire and wants to call down fire from heaven on people that don't receive the message properly. Okay, maybe not. That's probably not what's going on in the text for today. And so the question is, well, what are we supposed to get out of this text for today? Because, I mean, Jesus did come to the seaside. He did talk to the people. He did call these specific men to be his disciples. And not just to be his disciples, but to be the closest of the disciples. You know what I mean? When they went when Jesus went to the top of the mountain of Transfiguration, who did he take with him? Peter, James, and John. Right? When in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was going away to pray, who are the three that he took the farthest with him? Peter, James, and John. These were the disciples that he took with him the most, the ones who were closest to him. Yes. Why these guys? Is it because they had something great? Well, here's the thing. I really don't think so. I think what it is that I think it's kind of Jesus showing off a little bit, showing us that I can even use these people. And God has a long history of this kind of behavior. We got Moses, the great prophet of the Old Testament. I mean, he's a big guy, right? I mean, the first five books of the Bible are called the books of Moses. I mean, the Ten Commandments are the law of Moses is a little bit of a big deal. He's also the guy that didn't want the job. Remember? I mean, he was the one who God appeared to him in a burning bush, a bush that was on fire but would not be consumed. The bush that then spoke to him and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses had the unmitigated gall to argue with God through the burning bush. and say, I don't want to do the job. I don't want to be your guy. I don't want to go back to Egypt. After all, I'm wanted for murder there. I mean, things wouldn't go well for me in Egypt. And on top of that, I don't speak so well. Yet he argued very eloquently. So the thing is that what is this the great man that God chose to be his prophet? Well, yeah, it is. And we got Gideon. Gideon, when he was called to be a judge, in the book of Judges, he was the one that the Midianites were really giving the children of Israel a hard time, so much so that when Gideon was called, he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Why? Because it was down low hiding. He was like hiding from the Midianites so that they wouldn't take his stuff. And this great man of strength and valor was the one that God chose to rescue his people from the Midianites. And later it talked about how incredibly brave and courageous Gideon was. We got Matthew, the tax collector, the guy that pretty much spent all of his credibility by turning his back on his people and working for the Romans. We've got the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, right? Who became a witness for Jesus as she went and told everybody what she had seen and heard. And don't forget about the shepherds, the third shift shepherds, remember them? People who were so discredited they couldn't even testify in court. And God used them as his witnesses to share his truth. God has a long habit, a long tradition of using weak people to do his work. And look at the work that God did through these three guys. James, he probably accomplished the least that we know of, mostly because he was the first disciple to be martyred. Already in Acts, God tells us that, that Herod arrested him and killed him by the sword. But obviously he was doing something, or Herod wouldn't have gotten Herod's attention. And then there's Peter, the one that never could shut up. He kept that habit, only now he was saying better stuff. I mean, right from the moment of the Pentecost, when the flames of fire appeared and the Holy Spirit went into the disciples, who was the one who stood up and preached that amazing sermon, and that on that same day, then thousands of people were saved? It was Peter. It was Peter and John, the longest living apostle, the one that is the only one that we know for sure died a natural death. The apostle that describes himself in his own gospel, never mentions his own name in the gospel that he wrote, only refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. His gospel is written a little differently too. The other gospels are very much about the events that Jesus did. Jesus went to this place and he did this, and he went to this place and he did that. John's gospel is just very different. He doesn't focus so much on what Jesus does as much as what Jesus says and who Jesus is. He starts his gospel out, and his Christmas story is a little different. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us." It's funny. Jesus, he gets right into it, and he starts talking about Jesus, and Jesus is not just the Son of God, not just the Messiah. He is the very Word of God. I mean, John understands that it's not so much that, a man with great integrity is somebody that if they say it, they will do it, right? Their word is good for that. Jesus is a little different than that again, because it's not so much that his word means he will do it. His word does it. His word makes it happen. And you know, it's funny because in the very beginning of this text, you know, it says that one day as Jesus was standing by the lake, people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Now think about those words. Were they listening to the words that Jesus was speaking, or were they listening to the words coming from the word of God made flesh that lives among us? And think about what that word of God was doing while he was speaking. He was casting a net of his word from the word to the people, and that word was drawing people to himself. You know, he told Peter, "You're going to be fishers of men." He was already doing that very thing. He was casting God's word to the people and drawing them to himself. And this is exactly why Peter was successful, why he was effective, why he was able to be the great man of God that he became, is because what he did was he spoke not his own words, he spoke the words of God. He was called, he was filled with the Spirit, and he obediently shared the words of God. The reason that John was effective is because he spoke the words of God. And so here's the question. Why are you going to be effective at your call? Do you realize each and every single one of you have been called? You've been called, you've been baptized, you've been brought into the faith, you've been covered with the righteousness of Christ, you've been made children of God, you are heirs of the kingdom, you are divine princes and princesses in this kingdom. You are called to be the children of God. You are called to speak his word. And you say, well, I'm not qualified for this. I'm not up to this. There's something about me that's not right, so much so that this would not work. I would bring disrepute to God if I were to be the one that would speak for God. I shouldn't do it. What are you going to say? Like Moses, I can't speak so good, right? Or are you going to be like Gideon and say, I'm afraid, right? Or are you going to be like Peter and say, I'm too much of a sinner, I can't do this? What are you going to say? Because all those excuses were tried and none of them held. Because God wasn't asking people to be good enough. He made them good enough and he empowered them to do the work that he called his people to do. And when the people spoke his word, when they did the things God told them to do, they were effective for the kingdom. So today, what I'm basically rolling out in front of you is this. Peter, James, and John, these three disciples that were chosen by Jesus to be his closest followers, were not chosen because they deserved it. They were chosen because God loved them and was gracious to them. When he called you, it wasn't because you were somehow super valuable or had something that he couldn't do without. He called you because he loved you. And he didn't want to live without you forever in heaven. He wants you to be with him. And now he calls his followers, his disciples, into service. And he says, you know that word that saved you? There are more people who need to hear it. Go out and speak the word. How is Peter able to fish for men? He fished for men the same way Jesus fished for men. He cast out the word of God onto people, and that word of God draws people to Jesus. It's what it does. It is so powerful. The question is, are we going to do it? I mean, are we going to speak the word even though it's not comfortable? Are we going to speak the word even though we aren't confident we'll get it right? Are we going to speak the word trusting that the God of all creation is powerful enough to use even me? Because here's the thing, there's so many people out there who haven't heard. People out there who think they've heard but don't really know, don't understand that Jesus did for them. They think that they have to do for him. They think that they have to be good enough, that they have to be righteous enough, that they have to be deserving of Jesus' love. And we have the message that they need to hear that none of that matters. that as unrighteous as they are, as undeserving as they are, God loves them anyway. That even though they are covered with sin, Jesus died for them. That their sin has been paid for. That their guilt is gone. That God has made way for us to live with him in eternity forever. So the question is this. Are we going to speak this word? Are we going to let the Spirit work through us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. Give us words to say. Fill us, Lord, with the knowledge of the forgiveness that we have in you, Lord, so that we can share that message of grace with those that we come into contact with, that we can live out our calling, Lord, as your ambassadors. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to continue our worship by collecting the offering. And as the offering is taken, I do ask that you would also record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats, and let us sing to our Lord, turning our eyes to him, because he is worthy.
What a glorious dawn. Savior ever true. O Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to be here today, Lord, that we are your children covered by your blood, Lord, freed of our sin and from the curse of sin which leads to death. And instead, we look forward to the day where we will be with you in paradise forever. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, while we are yet in this world. Lord, help us to be your bold ambassadors. Help us, Lord, to cast your word, to cast you, Lord, out into the world amongst our friends, amongst the people that we have contact with, Lord, so that they also may be caught by your word and brought into a faith relationship with you, so that they also, Lord, may be able to enjoy the freedom that you give. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we go through our lives. Lord, so many troubles, so many challenges, so many struggles we have, Lord, but we know that as we struggle, that you are with us, that you give us your wisdom, that you give us your strength and your word, and through the gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion, Lord, that you shore us up and give us the strength, Lord, and that when we're too weak to cling to you, that you will not let go of us. Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, I thank you especially, Lord, for Jill and Claudia, Lord, that they're able to be here with us today. I pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord, as they continue to heal. Lord, I thank you for protecting them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we continue to minister, as we continue to love the people around us by sharing your truth. Give us courage. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do in remembrance of me." Having received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to us, delivering to us strength and forgiveness because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, knowing his promise is true, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we go our ways today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, looking forward to the day when he comes again. My friends, have a seat, and Janine and Ellie, if you guys would start working up here toward the front. While they're coming up, I just got two other announcements. Dine to Donate is tomorrow, so we can go to Camilla's and have Mexican together, which is always a fun time. And then also next Sunday is the blood drive between 9 o'clock and noon. The appointments are required, so just the information is in your bulletin, how to make those appointments. Oh, you want to do it down there. I'll bring you the microphone then. Just because I love you. Oh, for you. Okay. I'm allowed to say that.
Hi, I am one of the 9 women that started with Janine on the Grief and Share a number of weeks ago. When we started, there was one that had been grieving for 3 years, one that had been grieving for only 3 months. It was a wonderful experience. Janine is an awesome leader. The first thing Janine had us do was go around the table and tell our story. Well, the first one started to sob, and every one of us sobbed all the way around the table. I'm sure at about that time, Janine thought, what have I gotten myself into? We actually used every tissue in the Kleenex box. We learned a lot. We learned that nobody grieves the same, and the way you grieve, any way you grieve, is fine. And no one should ever say, and somebody had said this to somebody in the group, well, it's been 6 months, aren't you better? Then we, after we talked about that, we started to talk about, we had, we talked about, we had many videos that were helpful to us. Everything was wonderful. We decided to talk about different things in our grief life, and Janine helped us through that. We talked about our lives and how we were doing, and we were doing better all along. There were certain things that are called, I call them triggers, that we found that was hard for all of us. For one of us, it was opening her closet and finding her husband's clothes. For another, it was someone whose loved one called her every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and the phone doesn't ring. For others, it's when you set the table and there's nobody sitting at that place. For all of us, it was, and we've learned through this, to expect those triggers, and it will get better. And it is, for all of us, getting a little better. Now, for me, I always thought my husband belonged to me, but that's not true. He belonged to the Lord, and the Lord loaned him to me for 56 wonderful years, but then he took him back home. And I found, as did all of us, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but we all bless the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Just wanted to, I appreciate you, Ellie, so much for sharing that. We really did have a wonderful, hard but wonderful, about 11, 12 weeks in Grief Share. So we do want to offer it again. Actually, we want to start offering this regularly, maybe once or twice a year. And we want to open it up to people beyond St. Mark's. We would like to use it as an outreach as well. So if you do know people beyond St. Mark's that have lost a loved one, it can be, like Ellie said, within the last 3 to 6 months. It can be somebody that lost someone 5 to 10 years ago. It doesn't matter, because grief is grief, you know, and we all deal with it differently. So please get in touch with us. You can call Sean in the office to register. You can go online on St. Mark's website, and you can register that way. You can get in touch with me. There is a cost to the workbook, is $20, but if you can't do that, that's fine. We'll take care of it for you. We're going to start the first Monday in March. We're going to do it Monday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. And we're going to go every Monday until the last Monday right before Memorial Day. So we'll finish right up before the summer. There is a curriculum, Grief Share curriculum. It is very, very faith-based. So if you know somebody that is not comfortable with that, this might not be the best for them. But if you know somebody that's maybe not sure, but they maybe want to, they're open to that, please send them. It is wonderful curriculum. It really talks about all aspects, gets into some of those really hard questions, does address things like suicide. You know, if you're not sure about your loved one's faith, you know, all those kind of questions. But what we really loved about it, too, is that, like she said, everybody's dealing with grief, and you deal with it individually, but also there's some common themes that everybody felt, and the group, I think, really grew closer to each other. They felt loved and supported by each other, and I think it's wonderful because they want to continue getting together with each other. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time, I think, of support and love and care and growing in their faith and growing with each other. So I really strongly encourage anyone here who may be struggling with grief, or if you know anyone that is, please sign up for it. You got another month to sign up for it. Thank you.
All right, with that, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back.